I'm very pleased that you're part of the podcast 360 Degrees Global Talent Management today. Welcome. I'm Sahar, founder, diversity coach, intercultural trainer, and speaker. This podcast covers topics related to leadership, work culture, DEIB, and new work. It is created for executives, leaders, people and culture professionals, CEOs, and anyone who is interested in strengthening a trustworthy, open, and sustainable company culture. You will get direct insight in conversations with business professionals and experts from various backgrounds. Today's conversation addresses the dilemma faced by leaders who genuinely want to drive positive change through their teams and businesses, but are often confronted with conflicting expectations, competing goals, and environments that don't always reward higher purposes. Rather than focusing on why this happens, we will explore actionable steps and tools available to leaders feeling uncertain, frustrated, or skeptical about aligning leadership with purpose and sustainability, offering them strategies to move forward with confidence. My guest today is Karime Brekaido-Abib. Great having the opportunity to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure.
Before getting started, let me share some details about Karime. Karime Brekaido-Abib is a fourth in the world of sustainability and conscious leadership. With over 25 years of corporate experience, she made the bold leap in 2018 from executive roles to founding her own consultancy, Advantica GmbH, Responsible Business, a certified B Corp where she helps businesses navigate sustainability with purpose and strategy. Armed with an engineering background, an executive MBA, and a diploma in advanced studies for sustainable business, she brings a rare combination of technical knowledge and strategic insight to every project she takes on. She also leads the IDG Swiss Business Fit Hub, a unique space where she nurtures conscious, resilient leaders using the inner development goals as a transformative platform. Driven by a design to give mission and drawing from her training in mindfulness teaching and ontological coaching, she designs retreats and workshops that empower leaders to create meaningful change. And for the past 7 years, she's been a dedicated mentor to women, inspiring both individuals and groups to lead with confidence and clarity. Today, she continues to be a catalyst for leadership and sustainability that's rooted in authenticity, mindfulness, and lasting impact. Such a beautiful biography, Karime. I would love to continue. Thank you so much for being here. Let me just get started from the beginning. What do you define as conscious leadership? How would you best describe it?
I think this is a great way to start the conversation, Sahar, and thank you again for taking upon this topic that is so dear for me. I think at first glance, people would say, well, conscious leadership seems obvious, right? Any leader, anyone working is conscious. Their mind is functional in the world. So what is really about the difference that would make it this concept? So here we are not quite talking about the functioning of someone as a leader, but more about what goes deeper into the conscious concept. So it's more about being aware of yourself, first of all, then being aware of what is your impact over other people or on others and relationships, and also what is your long-term impact in terms of your actions. So it comes from who you are to how you act in the world. And I think it's much beyond, for instance, leading a team or managing a project, but it's much more being in contact with this sense of responsibility for the common good looking to causing results and impacts that are not for your personal gain. It's not about the leader. It's about the impact that is out there beyond you, and mostly for others, really. And in our world today, I think it's a lot about embracing ambiguity and uncertainty, because that's what our world today seems to be full of.
Beautifully said. How is conscious leadership interlinked with ESG objectives and sustainability?
Yeah, so I thought about this question, and here's the thing. ESG is a risk management tool. It's something that is out there as a frame for investors and executives to take care of their companies and mainly to navigate around risks. So I don't know that I would really call it a pathway for consciousness. I don't know how much of a consciousness is really there when you are paying so much attention to risks, right? It's really more about checking box most of the times, unfortunately. But when you look into beyond ESG and what I call real sustainability or even instruments to build a regenerative economy, then I think it has all to do one thing with the other. It's not only that it is interlinked, but it's really that it's interdependent. One thing does not exist without the other. We cannot create a positive future for us and for others coming after us unless we start acting today from a place of awareness and responsibility toward those others. So today you need to be conscious if you wanted to have regenerative economy, for instance. That's the connection. So without the first, the second is not possible, really. That's my motto or my belief.
And how can we best bring these topics to organizations and the corporate business world? I know this is your background, so maybe you can give us some insight.
Yeah, Zahar, that's a good one. Because honestly, I don't think anybody knows how to bring this to the organizations today. I don't think anybody tackled this. I think I see a lot of companies trying and trying really willingly and properly. Some of them. So there are organizations making huge efforts for embracing mindfulness, embracing full personal development within among their leaders. This has been a topic always in organizations with different titles. And I think empathetic listening is now very much a topic in companies because of the topics of climate change and the complexity right now, the VUCA world, complexity awareness, which is another part of conscious leadership, is there, but is there in a group of companies that is still what I call the bubble. Not all companies, not the mainframe of companies are thinking about that. And I don't see that there is a one path, really. There are many options on how to do this, but one common thing is that there must be a willingness to begin with. It's kind of the chicken and egg question. There is no development of conscious leadership without a little bit of consciousness already showing up in the minds of people and the leaders within the company. So I think this is a bit the tricky part. Nobody knows really how to bring it. The way I have been working with it, so being more practical now, I've tried different things. And the frame that I'm using now is the inner development goals, because it helps to start a conversation around the topic with people in companies. And because it has 23 skills and many tools that you can apply to develop those skills, it gives you really a way to introduce those practices and those ways of developing conscious leadership throughout the organization in many different moments, either in a conversation, on a workshop, or even when you are formulating an action plan forward. So I think there are other ways, right? The theory of you is a way. There are many, many tools out there. Actually, theory of you is inside the inner development goals as well. But what I mean to say is the toolbox is full for companies who are willing to try the two boxes out there available to them. And the inner development goals is one that I recommend because it already puts together a bunch of such tools that people can explore and try out.
Cool chance to be part of one of your workshops where you explain those inner development goals. And I believe if we share it to more people, as you said, the tools are there, it can help to start with small steps. Talking about leadership and decision-making, what are the main struggles or fears that leaders often express to you or that you observe when trying to align their sustainability goals with the pressures of running a business? And how do these deeper concerns influence the decision-making and leadership style?
So before I answer this, let me just go back to a point that when you were making your comment, it came to my mind. With the inner development goals, we can talk about them and have workshops about the inner development goals. But I think the how organizations embrace it is really practicing. So I like to really bring some exercise or some practical example and even using it myself during the process of other activities in the middle, amidst of the tasks of the project to make the point, because I really believe in practice in this sense. Now about the struggles. Yeah, I think a lot of the struggles come obviously from the conflict between different targets, right? But at the end of the day, for me, they come from this mindset of scarcity. A lot of people talk about this, right? But it's this belief that this system we are in, and I think the system unfortunately feeds into that, that for you to win, for us to have a winner, we need to find a loser. Or it's this kind of idea that you can only succeed if someone will get less. You have a bigger piece of the pie if someone gets a smaller one. And I'm not really talking about growth, because growth is another story. But I do think that this idea that in order for me to reach my financial targets or my operational targets, I need to give up sustainable behavior or conscious behavior, that is the problem. And that's where the struggle comes, because the leaders, the executives in companies and organizations, they are expected to deliver the results that they are expected to deliver. They have their targets, they have the objectives of the company. And if they come into the game with the mindset of scarcity, then all that they can do is a compromise, their trade-offs all the time. There is no thinking about synergy or creativity, all those which are qualities of a conscious leader. There is no listening to a different idea or even listening to criticism in a constructive way, because you are all the time concerned about choices that are trade-offs or compromises. So there's no building in a creative way more synergetic solutions. And I think that's the big struggle that people have, because it's not about being a bad person. People, leaders, don't want to do the wrong thing, put in brackets, but they don't want to cause negative impacts. They just are afraid that if they focus on sustainability or sustainability goals and reducing their impact, their footprint, or being more thoughtful about diversity and inclusion, then they will lose something. And that's the problem. The habit of not being synergetic is what they struggle with. The fear of not being able to deliver the more tangible targets of the daily business. I think that is the struggle, the big struggle here.
So when I hear you correctly, you say it's more the power of fear and not conforming in the way it is expected, which holds leaders or executives back to make more positive or impactful decisions.
Yeah, if you think about an executive, right, a person with a career in an organization, they are obviously concerned about their next step. They are concerned about their promotion. They are concerned about how their peers are looking at them and their bosses. So they are concerned with performing in a certain way. And if this is the only concern, and if you believe that in order to get that, you need to let others down, or to, it's the same as, you know, believe believing that you need to be better than others or pushing others away, it's the same kind of mentality. And it may not be intentional, but if you really cannot see that being more conscious, embracing the ideas of others, giving others spaces can actually create better solutions, then you will never give the space to that.
And when I hear you now, it's like, this would also block the complete transformational process of reaching desired goals in the ESG context.
Definitely. If you want to achieve results in the business as usual and just repeating results from the past, then maybe you don't need to be so conscious, right? If you are only concerned about results for yourself or for the short term, then conscious leadership may be not so interesting or necessary for you. It is really about transformation. It is when we need to bring about results that would maybe impact the economy itself, not only the technologies, but also the technologies, but also the habits of people, when you have to transform your product in a way that you will need to have a conversation with your consumers so that the habit will need to change as well as the product. Maybe the product will transform into a service. Those things are really more, they are transformative, but also in order to have a transformation that is for a positive outcome, for the better outcome in the long term, then you need to be conscious because you need to be more aware of those impacts and you need to listen more to the different stakeholders out there.
I'm curious. I mean, you have worked with so many different companies on this topic. Is it possible to share some best case scenarios?
Yeah, I think so. I think we have available, you know, many cases of companies doing that and leaders doing that. I think, of course, the most iconic is Patagonia and how they are transforming even the ownership concept of a company, right? And how they are directing their profits and making an intentional choice about how they are dealing with their profits and their business itself, the whole business. But I think there are other examples. There are small and big companies working towards a more sustainable way. And you look into, I don't know, let's say the typical example, another typical example, IKEA. They haven't yet transformed completely their business model, but they are looking into more and more into how to either refurbish a furniture or transform that into a service. That demands you to think, as a leader, what is the impact of my decisions here? I'm working now with a company, I think it's very known in the market in Switzerland, and I can tell you from firsthand an insight with Veleda Cosmetics and Pharmaceuticals. They are a natural cosmetics, anthroposophical medicine company. They are not looking only into what their products are. Actually, they operate from the very perspective of regenerating the planet. And they are very intentional about that. And they do have mindfulness practice and they do bring people to discuss that, not only inside the company, but with others. They work in education. Although they are not an educational company, they are educating people on what sustainability means for them, and what is regenerative agriculture? How can you really use, you know, grow plants and things without pesticides? All this comes from a mind of regeneration. And they also have pretty much an holistic view of the world coming from their anthroposophical philosophy. You don't even need to have such grounds to be sustainable or regenerative. Right? Look at initiatives as Too Good to Go, for instance. Very simple, just trying to do something about food waste. And it's pretty much conscious about what that means. If you reduce the consumption of new food, let's say, you are helping to reduce CO2 emissions in the end. It's a very simple way to do that. I'm working now with a bakery, a small business in Romania. And they work with products that are for celiac or for people with allergies. And and dietary restrictions. Well, they're not looking only to make their best quality product. They are also looking now into what are their ingredients or where the ingredients come from. And also, well, my employees, are my employees happy doing that? What connection do they have with kids? Because at the end of the day, they make cakes and most of the cakes they make go for kids. So they need to connect with what means to be a child again. All those topics are less financial and much more conscious. And at the end of the day, they are being successfully financially because they are thinking about those things.
Love how you describe it, because it's like the out of the box. You go out of the bubble thinking about like only the business, you go further, you go 1, 2, 3 steps further. It might be education, it might be children, it might be the society, it might be the food topic you have mentioned, but it's like an holistic overview you have to get to actually be successful. And it doesn't mean that the profits won't go up. No, actually, if you do it well, the profits will also come in because people trust you, they are willing to pay for your products, and they know you are happy to invest in things that may all positive and impactful.
Yeah, there are now many studies showing the benefits in terms even of financial results, return on investment and profitability for companies that are more sustainable. Now, the tricky thing here is that this is not about short-term results. If you want a short-term result, you can make a scam of a business and you will have results, right? So if you cannot compare those two types of mindset in terms of outcomes and results, it's really looking to long-term. And that's where conscious leadership come into play again. Because if you think about your own bank account as an entrepreneur, or as a CEO of a company, I don't think necessarily you need to be too conscious, unfortunately, in our current system to make that happen. It's about the longevity of that company, the longevity of profits and well-being financially and otherwise to the employees, to the society in general. So you need to really think about prosperity instead of profit. Prosperity not only in the short term and not only for a few, but for many. And it's not easy because you need to embrace the other.
Dive a bit into this long-term orientation that you have described. I know you are also involved in retreats and you regularly participate yourself and organize them. Can you share powerful examples or breakthroughs you have witnessed?
Right, yeah. I've done more workshops, retreats. I'm just starting. I have been participating in many, but we had our first Inner Development Goals retreat in June this year, and it was just amazing. It was not a big group. That's one thing that I think most times big transformations, deep transformations, they happen starting with smaller groups and then spreading. And the retreats are like that. We had some executives and some C-level joining the retreat. And what we saw was this transformation. It was short, 2 or 3 days. And still you could see they coming in, not believing they could allow themselves to have the time to stop and just breathe, to have a moment of meditation, not really needing to solve any problem. Going and contemplating nature, making an arrangement of flowers or something like that. And for them, it was really difficult in the process to even conceive of the idea that that would be helpful somehow. And through the courses of only 2 days, 2 or 3 days, at the end, they could already see how much more clarity they had about those questions that were really challenging them. And for which they didn't have any answers or good answers. They had answers where they were not feeling comfortable. But now with the clarity of the mind, with the contemplation of the environment, which gives you a much broader sense of your role in the world, they ended the retreat creating solutions. Not the solution itself, but having already a frame into which they could really describe their work and their ideas in a completely different way, with more clarity, with understanding of what really am I trying to achieve here. And we had very cool examples, very practical examples. One that I can give you, for instance, someone changing her position. They were moving from being a sustainability, responsible for sustainability, and the next 2 or 3 months, they are now moving into a position of managing director. And the fears that they expressed were, and I use they just to not identify, but they were thinking about, okay, now I'm responsible for all those results. I don't know anymore if I can, how can I manage those struggles we were talking before. And the fears start coming up. Through the course of the retreat, it became much more clear to them how the tools can be applied. So by the end of the retreat, they had a plan on what exactly were the questions and the changes in the targets for the team that they would bring about. And they even start drafting how they would bring some of the tools for a small group of people within the organization to multiply what they have learned. They wanted to multiply what they have learned for the team so that they could also bring that to the business as a whole. So this is a style of managing director that is not so common, right? And probably will surprise the team at first. And it will demand resilience to continue the work. But there they are. They had clarity, already have a plan in their mind of, oh, now I see how I can use this. Now I see how I can make this happen. And it was beautiful, the testimonial at the last day of the retreat of how they came across this plan in their minds. Another person in the retreat gifted us at the end of the retreat with a beautiful song. They were singing to all of us. And they confessed that they never sang in public before. They were always afraid of that. So you may think, okay, this is about singing, not about business. But it is the courage of taking that step that you never thought you would be able to. And if you ever try to sing in public, you may know how difficult that can be. So it was beautiful. The voice was beautiful. The music was beautiful. It touched us all. And it showed to everyone, well, you can start somewhere and you can really let go of your fears to take a first action.
Full stories of giving goosebumps. Thank you for sharing that, Karime. Now get a bit more in depth with diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. Can you share some experience of conscious leadership and DIB?
I think that the simple idea that you are going to be more aware of your impact on others and the relationships can open your mind and your ways of action to be more inclusive and to embrace diversity. I believe that the moment you become really conscious about who you are in the world, you come to understand that there is no difference between you as a leader and any other person. So naturally, you will be listening more. You will be more open to others, and you will include others' perspectives into your thinking. That will be a natural process. Now, you asked me about my experience with it. What I seen as a manager, as a leader myself in the corporate world, and not always I have been the greatest leader, right? But one thing I can tell you is that the moment I would open up and listen to my team is when we would succeed better. The moment that I would acknowledge that they had sometimes better ideas than mine, it's when we would have breakthrough results. The moment that I would let go of controlling and delegate and let them be and deliver what they could, the way that they want to do it, not the way that I want to do it, it was when results came more effectively. And I give you one quick example, very simple. In one of the companies I worked at, the culture of being a leader is the culture of also being a little bit of an extrovert. being able to express yourself strongly around the table. And not everybody's like that. Some people in my team, for instance, there were a couple of people, one in particular was a brilliant person, brilliant mind, and also an introvert. Someone who would not necessarily feel like they can express themselves at any time. And then you put this into the perspective of race and gender and being a minority. If you go through this, you find tons of people that just don't find their way to express themselves just because they are different. They have a different experience, vocabulary, background, or simply being an introvert, as this one example. So I decided to not care about the introversion and start bringing the opportunities for the expression of the ideas there, and even bring up front the name of this person for a management position. So I tell you, it didn't work in that company because the culture was such that didn't allow for that person to flourish. And we worked through that. And finally, together, we figured out that that person would be flourishing in other cultures. So we together start discussing that. Today, this person is a director in another company and flourishing in another. It's super recognized because this another culture embraced his introversion and his diverse background. So yeah, sometimes solutions are also like this. You think you can find a solution within a context. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you need even to change the context.
So many beautiful examples today. So joyful. Thank you for sharing also this beautiful experience where the director found the right match at a different company level. Now I would like to know, how do you enjoy your free time to recharge your batteries, Karime?
Oh, so many ways. I really put a lot of value on my free time. And I have to say, my husband helped me a lot with this because I use and I tend to be a doer. So I do a lot of things, despite the fact that I have my mindfulness practice every day, that I pretty much have been working on my personal development and my conscious leadership development as well along the years. I am also a person who can be very much into work and sometimes forgetting about taking care of myself. My husband helps me a lot with that. He's a coach, by the way. So that also helps. But the ways I do that are really pretty much going out in nature. So I do long walks. I run. I also swim, especially in the summer. I'm not a swimmer in cold waters, but I do enjoy the lake and the ocean as much as I can during the summer. I also like quiet. You will laugh at that, but one of the things that also helps me to recharge is to clean. So when I'm doing my cleaning at the house, it's really a different type of meditation. It's really helpful. But when I'm free, really, I like traveling, meeting new places. And sometimes really what is about is contemplating the new places. I also engage with people, but I really am careful about the balance between socializing and having time for myself quiet, or only me and my husband going for walks and all. So even when we are traveling, it's really a lot about walking. I would say walking is my number one activity, especially if it's in nature. That's how I recharge. And I do go to retreats too. So at least 3 times a year, I spend a few times either in the mountains or somewhere else where it's usually a beautiful place with nature's beautiful surroundings, just to read, relax, do nothing, you know? Do nothing is the best thing ever. Every day, it's good to do nothing for a little bit, even if it's only 15 minutes. Take that break and just do nothing. Just be there watching the view, watching out of the window or outside if you can, better this way. I think that's how I spend my free time. And obviously with friends. I think being with friends is important for the longevity of your mind and the longevity of your spirits as well. You know, we are social beings. We need to share. We need to have fun, laugh. So yeah, that's how I recharge and use my free time. Being out, being nature, walking, and getting to know new places and talking to people.
Thank you so much for sharing how you reconnect to yourself and to your being. Beautiful. Now let me summarize my three key findings of our conversation. First, consciousness is about now. It's what we do now in the present and today. It might be a conversation that we have now on the podcast or going out, chatting, doing something in business, but also in our private lives. Second, you need to be intentional. So you have to have the reason why you do it. You have to have a common understanding, thoughts, and reflecting about what you're doing. And then it will also have a positive result afterwards. And what I liked is actually something you said prior to our podcast conversation, but I loved it. So I'm going to take it. Action can change emotions. It can also change the way we behave, interact, and build a new reality. So when we are mindful about how we think, how we interact with each other, we can also become mindful leaders. Karime, is there anything you would like to add to the listeners that they should remember?
I think you summarized well, Saha. The future is being built today. So if you care about others, if you have that seed of conscious leadership in you, and I believe everybody does, start now being the leader you want to be. Don't wait for anything and act, you know, because we think about mindfulness, which is important, but really when you act, you nourish your mindfulness and vice versa. So it's good to use both. So just start it. That's what I wanted to tell people. Small steps, just start the first one.
Wonderful. We all get started. It was fun and insightful talking to you.
Thank you very much, Sahar. It was absolutely gorgeous to see you today because I'm seeing you. I know others will only listen to you, but also a pleasure, big pleasure to be here and to talk about this that is a dear topic to me and with you, who is a person that I also admire and love so much. Someone that I really think it is a conscious leader yourself.
Thank you so much. I feel so blessed having you here. And I can give all the compliments back to you, Karime. Where can the listeners find more information about you or get in touch with you?
I think the best way these days is LinkedIn. So just find me on LinkedIn, Karim Brekailo Abibi, or just Karime Abibi, and you'll find probably two of us. You probably identify me easily. And then through my company's website, you also can reach out to me there. So www.advantica.ch. Those are the easiest ways. If you are in Zurich, I'm usually at the Impact Hub. So that's another place where you can easily reach out to me.
Great. So thank you very much to the listeners. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Follow and like this podcast. I would love to get a 5-star rating from you. And please share your feedback for future podcast episodes. Stay tuned for more.